Blog Talk Radio.
She will be my guide. Hold me closely to your shield. With love and strength for me to get, she will make a way. She will make a way. That His word will heal me. Something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be such a way. If you not see, He will make a way. Hold me closer to your strength. Love and strength for the new day. She will make a way. She will make a way.
Thank you.
Thank you. worship your holy name. Sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing with the day dawn. So bless the Lord, my soul.
I was sorry about Thank you. I love you, Lord, in the power of your
thank you. give thanks for what the Lord has done for us this morning and every morning from the beginning of our life. He has always done good for us, even when we don't deserve it. So we give thanks. We give thanks. We give honor. We give glory. Oh, we give adoration to him. We are so grateful this morning, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are already rejoicing. We're excited what the Lord has done, what he has done already, what he's doing now, and what he will do. Hallelujah, because we are in his presence, and we recognize that in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we rejoice, knowing that we are the children of the living God, the sovereign Lord. This morning we have the bishop out of Louisiana and the apostle out of Louisiana, the Washingtons. They are coming this morning to break bread for us. Oh God, first to the Lord God of our salvation, and then to the people of God, which we are. And we are excited to the Lord has blessed them to be in the land of the living on this side of the grave. And we thank God for keeping them. Oh, as he kept us, oh God, we pray that God will use their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay to declare and decree who he is by the power of the word and the spirit of the word. Right now, Father, we ask you, oh God, the atmosphere is already set. You've already saturated the atmosphere and sanctified your word, O God, that you have placed in their belly. Lord, we ask you to allow it to flow, O God, like the light of God into us, O God, that we would be illuminated even the more, O God, to speak your truths, O God, with power and authority. Lord, use them this morning, O God, as never before. And those that are listening near and far, God, let the word reach them where they need to be reached, O God, that they would be elevated to another dimension in you, Lord. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the matchless name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle. And allow the Lord Jesus by his spirit to use you both. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. We are
praise
here.
The Lord.
Amen. We are here because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Because of the love of God. Hallelujah. And we thank God for his love. We thank God for all of the love that he sends our way, that he pours over us each day. We thank God. We thank God for that amazing grace every day. Oh, for the new mercy that endure forever, that he sends every day. It's new. It's new. This is a new day. Glory be to God. And so we are here, happy to be here. And Apostle said he's excited. We're excited. We're excited as well. We're excited and delighted to be here because it is so much of an honor to be here and to be one of the ones that God will use as a vessel. Amen. And that's truly a blessing. And it's something that we thank God for every day, that he would even use us as one of his vessels. Amen. And deliver his precious word. And so we thank God for you, our apostle, our overseer, Apostle David Callender. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for your love, for the love you have of God, number one, that love that God has put into you. And as he has put that love into you and poured his love into you, you pour it out every day. You pour it out just like all of the brothers and sisters in this world and those on this line that are pouring out that love that God has poured into us. It's been an outpouring. And that outpouring has come because Jesus poured out. Jesus poured out as he suffered. He poured out. He poured out his love in this earth when he was here. He poured out it. His blood spilled all into the earth. His blood spilled for us to be saved, for us to be raised out of the pit. Glory be to God. Because of his love, because he loved us so much, he was willing to go and sacrifice for us. So that we would be saved, so that we would be able to answer to the call of love. And that's what our topic is, the call of love. Glory be to God. So now we can answer to the call of love. We can do what God said when we decided that we're going to love like he said to love. There's a way that God said that we must love. And so we love you all. We thank God for Apostle Millie on this line, Apostle Millie, our sister, another vessel that's a vessel of integrity and a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. And God has blessed us with her, blessed us with our apostle calendar, blessed us with others on the line, Deacon Frazier and others that come all the time on this line, have blessed us to know that we are being loved by others. Number one, we're loved by God. And when we answer to the call of love, we're going to know how to love others. Amen. We're going to know how to treat others. Glory be to God. So we're going to go to those scriptures. I also want to thank God for my husband here who does know how to love because the love has been poured in him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for all of the sacrifices that this man of God has made for the kingdom and also for his family and friends. Amen. And so I thank God for my husband this morning, a very dedicated man of God, a dedicated husband. Hallelujah. Dedicated father, dedicated friend. So I thank God this morning. Glory be to God. I thank God for him every day, just the way we thank God for you all every day, all of you. I don't know who's on the line, but I do know that whomever is on the line, that this word that we're about to release, that the Lord has put those scriptures into us and had us come with this word this morning, that I know that when you hear this word, when you hear this word about the love, and I know you've heard it before. I know you've heard about some of the scriptures. Hallelujah. But today the Lord is wanting to remind us that we are first called to love. That's the first call. Everything else comes after that. And God has made it very plain and very clear in his word through scripture that it is the first. Amen. And when we call that first call, that call of love, then we're going to put God first. We're going to put first and others will be in line with that. Amen. God first, then others, and then yourself. It goes in that order. Jesus, others, yourself. And that spells joy, J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. And that gives us joy. That joy unspeakable will now be in our hearts. It'll be evident in our lives that we have this joy. We have this love because we put Jesus Christ first. Amen. And then we're going to go to others. Glory be to God. So it spills over. The love we have is going to spill over to others. And so everybody on this line, which is what I kind of got away from, but everybody on this line, the love of God is being spilled over on this line. Hallelujah. It's being poured out on this line every day in the church, in a church of God, any church that's really about Jesus Christ, that's pouring out the love of God. My God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. And we do have some some pastors and people of God who really love the Lord. It's not everybody that's got some character defects, that's got some issues. It's not everybody that don't know how to love. We have people that really do love the Lord, and they're suffering for the love of God, suffering for the love of the kingdom, amen, suffering for the work that they are doing for the kingdom. And so we pray for all of our brothers and sisters around the world, all of those who are making that sacrifice unto God to love him with all their hearts, amen, and to do what God said. We pray for their strength. We pray for their courage. In the name of Jesus, God, pour out strength into them, God. Pour out courage on them, oh God, more, because it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength to do what we do. Because there's always a spiritual war going on, and there's all other things in our personal lives that we have to do. It's just a lot going on, and so we need the strength of God. We cannot make it without his strength and his peace and his, you know, and all that he pours out on us each day. We could not do what we do without the grace of God. And it's of that grace that keeps us moving, keeps us doing, keeps us loving and doing what we do in spite of what we go through. We still love when we have also and when we have answered to that first call. When we have answered to that first call, that call of love,
yes,
and all the things that is needed is provided. Everything else that is needed for us to do what we do is provided by our first love. And he is Jehovah, Jehovah God, hallelujah, Father God who gave his only son, hallelujah. And Jesus answered to that call.
Yes, Lord.
Answered to the call of the cross, hallelujah. He answered, glory be to God, and we must answer as well to that love that he spilled out on that cross, that he poured out on all of us so that we could come in and receive of all that he poured out. Hallelujah. We are the ones that receive. Jesus gave it, we receive it, and then we give it out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's go to our first scripture. And the first scripture that we want to go to is what God says about love. Hallelujah. What does God say? And most of us know it, and I know that, but we gotta do it. We gotta look at the scriptures because there may be somebody on the line who has never heard this before. We always have to preach and teach as if we're doing it, as if there's people on the line that may not know. Because you know, sometimes we forget. I think we forget that we may not only be preaching to people who already know some of the words, but there may be somebody that don't know. And that's why we have to preach the way we do and teach the way we do, because there are others that may not know. And God wants everybody to get this word. Before he can come, everybody is going to have the opportunity to have heard his word and to have the opportunity to receive him, right?
Amen.
He wants everybody to hear. He wants everybody to have the opportunity, to be given the opportunity, which is their right to receive what Jesus Christ has already done for them to have everlasting life so that they can one day be with Jesus for an eternity. Amen? And
Amen.
So it's all about souls today. This is why we come. It's about souls. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about God and why we do what we do. We
Amen.
Do it because of the love of God. So we're gonna be in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to go there. But right now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37. And this is what Jesus said. And love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. But let's go to the, I wanted to start at 36. Okay.
Oh. Matthew 22.
Matthew 22 and 36.
36.
Because,
okay.
Yeah, the disciples are asking him a question. And Jesus was always willing to answer the questions. Even if we have a question about anything, we can ask God the question.
Amen.
Even when it's something that we have in our spirit to, we hear in our spirit that we should do or go or whatever, we can ask God a question.
Mm-hmm.
God is all right with that. Jesus
Amen.
Them for asking a question. So it says in verse, what I'm going to read, don't turn to 35, but I'm going to read 35. It was one of them, verse 35, it was one of them, an expert in the law, listen, expert in the law, tested him with the question. Now, if they're expert in the law, they should already know the answer to this question, right?
Amen.
But they're going to test Jesus purposely. And here's what he says. Here's what they ask him. Teacher, verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? They want to know if he know it, okay?
Yeah.
They don't know. But here's the next one. Here's what he says. Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All. He's not going to accept some.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to accept it when we say we don't feel like it. He's not going to accept it when we want it the way we want it. It has to be done the way God says to do it. He says, I want all. I want all of your heart. I want all of your mind to be stayed on me. I want all. And we have to give him that all because he is our all in all. And he's saying, I want all. I'm your all in all, and I want all from you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this commandment is very, very important. All of them are. But love the Lord, he said, your God. When we love, we're going to show people when we love that we love them.
Yes.
It's an action word. Love is about action. Love is not just about giving it lip service. We can tell people all day long we love them. I can tell you I love you. I can kiss you on your cheek and say I love you. I can even give you some gifts and say I love you. But if it's not of the heart, it's no good.
No good.
If it's not really in your heart, it doesn't mean anything, and sure enough, it don't mean anything to God. You can give to the kingdom and write your checks and give your offerings and do all of that, but if it's not done out of a spirit of love for God and really have love for others, it won't even be accepted by God. But we accept those things because we want to have certain things and we want to feel like or really love us. We want to feel love. Everybody want to be loved. And Lord knows we need love. Lord knows we don't have enough of it in this earth. We need love. But we want it so badly that we'll act foolish just to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll act foolish, do foolish things because we want to be loved. We'll do outlandish, ridiculous things because we want to be loved. We'll do ridiculous things because we want support. We'll accept all kind of foolishness because we want the support of that person or the support of that church. And we'll do foolish things and let things slide because I don't want to lose that person. I don't want to lose that support. But
Amen.
You don't lose God's support when you've already answered to the call of love. You're not going to lose anything when we answer to the call, really answer to the call of love and pour out that love. We're not going to be lacking anything.
Amen.
Because the Lord is going to provide everything for us because truly the love he has for us is pure. Hallelujah. And so we do ridiculous things because we're craving that love. We're craving that formation. We're craving that wannabe. I want to be something to everybody. I want to be that. I want to do that. I want to, you know what I mean? And we do it, and then we become like foolish ones. We get in a certain place in our lives, and it becomes like stagnant water. It becomes really stinky because we're in a place where we ought to not be, and the same old foolishness is going on over and over and over, and it gets old and it gets stale and it begins to stink. It gets old, stale, stinky because it's not of God. We're in some places where we ought to not be. We're receiving from some people we don't even need to receive from because what they're doing is they're giving only to manipulate, only to get something that they want. Amen? We got to be very careful who we give to and who we receive from. That's another thing. Love will allow you, the love of God, the call of love on your life, is going to let you know when somebody really do care about you. Oh, yeah, that love is stuck. As long as they're pouring out gifts on us, as long as they're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, we take all kind of crap because they say they love us, because they give us a little gift or something. But that's not what it's all about. It's all about that pure love. Is that person really there for you when you really need something? Is that person willing to answer your phone calls? Is that person willing to listen to you? Is that person willing to be a shoulder for you to cry on? Is that person even talking about God and living a life for Jesus Christ? Are they really living the life? If they're really living the life, then they got some love going on. Yeah, they got some love going on. So we'll go to our next scripture,
And to be established in this love, we have to receive all of what God said we should receive and what we should be about. Amen. So the next scripture, two others, very important. Here's more. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, everybody know that one just about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
He gave because he loved. He took the pain, the suffering, because he loved. And the same thing with us, because we love, there is anguish, there is pain, there is hurt, but there's also joy. There's also the joy of knowing how to love. There's the joy of knowing that Jesus' love is in me, the love he put in me, and I can pour it out on others because he's given me that ability to do it. Without the love of God in us, we cannot love like we should. There's no way we're going to be able to love people the way we should without having the love of Jesus Christ in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. There's no way you're going to be able to love. It's going to be a selfish love. It's going to be a selfish thing. It's going to be manipulated by the flesh. It's not real love. Real love only comes from our God, our Father in heaven. Amen. The Jesus Christ in us. Amen. That's where that great love is going to come from. It's the greatest love. It's the everlasting love that Jesus Christ said he would have for us. God said in his word, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Nobody else can love like that.
Man.
An everlasting love. It's a love that won't stop. It's a love that keeps on giving. Even when we're out of the will of the Father, even when we're doing all the wrong and when before we got saved and all that, God loved us. He sent his only son because he loved us, because it is not God's will that any man perish. He wants us all to have everlasting life. He wants us all to experience his love. And that love that gives all, that love that keeps on giving, the gift of salvation keeps on giving. God gave us that gift on the cross, hallelujah, when Jesus was crucified. And he loved us even before his son came into the earth. God loved us, hallelujah. It never stops. He loves us whether we're doing wicked things. He don't love what we do if we're sinning, but he still loves us. We're still his children. He's our maker, and we were made to love him. We really were. God made us to have that love and to have that family. We were made to love God, and we have that in us to love. We have that void. If we're not loving like that, if we have not received the fact that God loves us and that we have love enough in us of God, if we receive that challenge, if we receive that call to love, when we receive that, if we don't realize it, you know, there's a void. There's a void in our soul. There's a void in your heart. There's a void in your mind. If we don't love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, the void is going to stay there. And because of that void, Apostle Millie, Apostle Callender, Deacon Frazier, y'all know, because if it's not there, we're going to do some foolish things.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing the most foolish things to ourselves and to others, horrible things, because that void is there. And we're going to do things to ourselves trying to get something that you can only get from God. This kind of love, the greatest love you ever know that I'm talking about, you can't get it in drugs. You can't get it with a man or a woman. You can't even get it in a sermon till you receive him. Until you can listen to a sermon about love all day long. You can listen to sermons about what Jesus Christ did all day long. But if you don't receive it, if you don't receive it and then do what it takes, apply the principles, do what it takes to show that love, to show God that, God, I do love you. I do. And I love you so much, God, and I want to love everybody else just the way you do, God. I want to love them. Hallelujah. You can't get it. It doesn't come in a bottle. It doesn't come. You can't drink it. You can't eat it. My God, you can't lay on it. You can't lay with it. No, it doesn't come with that. No matter how good a man is to you, no matter how good a woman is that you think it is so good, they're so good. Without the love of God, it's no good. I'm telling you, without the love of God, it's no good because it's not going to turn out good. It's not going to turn out good. It may look good, feel good. And wow, here's another thing. While it's going on, Apostle Millie, while it's going on, and you may have all the stuff you want, but you know what you don't have? You don't have that love that has been given to God, loving him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you're not going to get to heaven. See, that's the thing. You got all that they're giving you. You happy with that. Some people are happy. I'm so happy. I got all I want. I got the house. I got the cars I want. I got everything. I'm rich. I got plenty of money. And some people poor without love. Mm-hmm. Some people still poor as all Job's turkey and don't have no love.
Amen. No.
Poor as Job's turkey and still don't know Jesus. Not going to know him until we receive him and receive of the love that he poured out for us. Amen? So we got to answer to the call first. First and foremost, because it's not in everything we think it is. It's not in those diamonds. You know, they say diamonds are a girl's best friend. Huh? No, it's not. No, it's not. How can diamonds be your friend? What can diamonds do for you? You can just look at them and they shine real pretty. You know, and other people might say, well, I love your rings or whatever.
Checking the shelves for diamonds,
huh? Yeah. But, you know, but those diamonds can't give you what your soul is missing. Those diamonds can't fill that void, that void of some real love that you really need. Nothing can replace that what God gives. Nothing, not anything in this world can replace what only God can give. Hear me today. If you got a whole lot of stuff, you got everything you feel you want, you can go where you want to go, do what you want to do with your life. At the same time, if you have not received the Lord, if you have not received his love and answered the call to love, answering to the call to love takes some work. It takes work. You got to work it out. Hallelujah. Not just with lip service. Like I say, I can tell you all day long, I love you.
Yeah,
but care about you, if I don't show you that I care, and it don't even have to be with a whole lot of lavish gifts. It could just be that I'm there for you. You're there for me. We're there for each other. And when I see you, I celebrate you. Celebrate my friends. When your friends come, you should be celebrated. When you should be celebrating them when they come. You should be so happy to see them. Hallelujah. You know, when somebody called me, a person I used to hang with a lot, and we don't anymore, but I never stopped loving. I never stopped caring and loving for this person. And anyway, you know, some people come for a season and they go, whatever. And but she called me and it blessed me. She said, I couldn't let the whole month go by because I remember. She remembered when we celebrate our birthdays together and when we went places together and we did each of us. When we went to each other's house, we poured out the red carpet for each other. You know, this is celebrating people that you care about. And she said, I couldn't let the month go out without saying happy birthday because yesterday was the last month of last day of January. And she said, I kept trying to call, but she didn't have my number. She didn't have my new number. She had my old number. And so she found Bishop's number, and she said, I wanted to tell both of you happy birthday. happy birthday. I couldn't let the month go by. That was beautiful. That was thoughtful. You know, because she remembered. She remembered, and I remember too. I oftentimes think about her. And not very long ago she came. You know, we sat down and we had coffee together and we poured out. We made breakfast for her. She was coming from work and I told her, I said, well, come on over and get some breakfast. And we sat down and we had coffee together. We celebrate people. You know, you want to celebrate your friends. When Apostle come, we're going to celebrate the man. We celebrate him every day. We celebrate our friends every day. But when Apostle come into town, when he come, it's a blessing to have him walk through the door. It's a blessing when Apostle Millie and Lulu, Minister Lulu came and Apostle Calendar came. And then we went over to Prophetess Jeff's house and she poured out for us. She had hors d'oeuvres ready.
Amen.
She had hors d'oeuvres ready and Apostle Millie and and Minister Lulu couldn't eat what she had prepared, but that's okay because my daughter went out and bought chicken. She went out and bought chicken and beans and biscuits, and this is what we do when we love people. This is what we do. There's no way in the world my apostle gonna be in town, and I'm not gonna invite him to my house.
Amen. No.
So come, he's gonna knock on the door. But I'm not gonna refuse him because I love him. I love my Millie. I love my Apostle Calendar. I love Deacon. If Deacon knock on my door right now, he can sit at. We gonna celebrate. We celebrate our friends because of the love that God put in our hearts. Amen. When we love, we really love. My God. So there's no waste. And then my daughter, when Apostle was here. My daughter took me, Misha, all of us, Misha, her daughter, myself, Apostle Calendar, my husband, my grandson. We all went out and had a beautiful dinner. My daughter paid for it all because she's accepted Apostle Calendar as her family. He's like a father to her. Because of the love, she began to see that this man really does love her mom and her daddy. She began to see it because at first she kind of stands off until she sees. She always waits to see. And then she's seen the sacrifices that this man of God made. And now I'm not being braggadocious, but I'm bragging on what God has done. This is something that God has done when people can pour out the love for your brother. If I'm going to call you my brother, then I'm supposed to be like a brother.
Amen.
If I'm
going
to call you my sister, I'm supposed to be a sister.
Amen.
I'm supposed to have the love in my heart for my brother and my sister. No way you're going to be here. Or you're going to be at the hotel or whatever, and you don't show up, and I don't show up. And y'all here in town, and I don't show up. What is that saying? Do I really love you? Or I just like having you in my life? I just like having you in my life. I can call for a prayer. I'll get a prophecy every now and then. You know, I go on the line to see what I can hear. Come on, y'all. I'm talking some real truth right here.
Amen. Now,
it doesn't matter who don't like it. Because most people don't like the truth anyway. They don't love because they don't know Jesus. When you love the truth, when you love Jesus, you're going to see the truth, and that's the only thing that makes us free. That's the only thing that's going to make you free. Loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and your soul, and when you say you love other people, you're going to be pouring out because of the love that's in you.
Amen.
No kind of way. When Misha was alive, Misha met Apostle Calendar at the airport, took him to her house and made sure he was comfortable, made sure he had everything he needed. That's love.
Yes, Lord.
Love. And she would call him, check on him. We would pray for him together. And we do it now. Pastor Millie and I, we pray. She's my prayer partner. She's my sister. She's my friend. You know? Jeff Lee, Prophetess Jeff Lee, the same thing. We have a few people. Apostle Calendar will call us and pray. If he know we're going to the doctor, he's going to send a prayer.
Yes.
That's what friends do. That's what the friends of Christ will do. Do you know Jesus Christ to be your friend?
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend that sit closer than a brother. Do you know him today? You know him by what you do. You get to know Jesus by the work that you put into it. It's called work. You got to work it out. And I feel like this. Anybody that you love, you're going to celebrate them. I don't want to just be tolerated. We don't just tolerate our loved ones and friends. We celebrate them.
Yes, Lord.
We treat them like we love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Over. Mm-hmm. Don't you be in town and don't come to my house.
He does.
Don't you be in town and pass me up because I love you. And when you come here, everything, I'm going to have it.
Yes, Lord.
Because of the love of God. And if I don't have it, we're going to get it. If you really want it, we're going to get it. Because when you love like that. It's called celebrating the love that you have in you and you pour it out to other people.
Praise
God. Jesus, like I said the other day, we got to be the window. We got to be the window they can see through.
Amen. Now,
they got to see the love of Jesus. They got to see the light. My God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
They have some people knock on the door, and they come in. Well, you're going to look at them through the uh-uh. They're not coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
It could be somebody you done told you love them before.
Right, yeah.
Somebody, you say, I love you so much. When you're in town, you can come by me. And then when you see them at the door, you don't go to the door. You peep out the window. Y'all know it's true. I don't want to be bothered with them because you're just talking. It's just a conversation. It's just words. What are words without action? Joshua said, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What is serving? Serving is about love.
Amen.
At my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And when you're serving the Lord, you're serving his people.
Yes, Lord.
You're serving the poor. You're serving the hungry. You're serving the lost. That's what love is about. It's about being a servant of love, that vessel of love that God has called us. So first call is the call of love. And the need that is there. Love. Love is going to take care of it because we got God.
Praise the Lord.
God is going to supply those needs. Glory be to God. So when we say we love, God is listening. Pay attention. Pay very close attention because a lot of people love to hear that word. All you got to do is tell them you love them and they can pour out, oh, I love you. But they have shown you any reason why you should believe that they love you. Number one, you're going to know their spirit. Check them out. Check them out. Listen. And it won't take long before you know their spirit, before you know they're faking.
Mm-hmm.
They're faking. Somebody sending an offering doesn't mean they love you.
Wait,
somebody, your offering doesn't mean they love you. Somebody sending you some clothes and some shoes doesn't mean they love you. Diamonds doesn't mean they love you. They got ulterior motives.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's just the way it is, folks. That's just the way it is. I'm just talking truth here. This is real talk.
Amen.
And he might as well accept it. Everybody's not going to love you. But God will always love you.
It's so true.
I'll always be with you. No matter who don't. You know, if I went to Boston, I let Apostle know I'm in Boston. I might have some business in Boston, and I want to check my brother out. I want to check him out, you know, and I'll let him know. Maybe he hasn't invited me to his house, but I know I'm welcome to Apostle's house. I know I am, and I know there's no way I'm going to be in town, and Apostle is not going to meet with me. He's not going to meet with Bishop and I. But I'm just saying, I'm using this for an example, and I'm in town.
and I call Apostle Lemuel. I'm in Boston. I got some stuff going on. Maybe there's a conference, maybe, you know, business or something, and I just wanted to check you out. I just want you to know I'm in town. And he don't say not one word. But we're going to try to get together. I'm going to try to make it happen. And I'm going to give you my address because I really want to see you and Bishop. I'm so glad y'all in town. I'm so glad. You think Apostle would not do that? He would.
Amen now.
He would do that. If I go right now to where Apostle lives and I go there, I go to Alabama. And I call Apostle. I'm surprised I'm here. Now, that's an inconvenience most likely, but even if she don't say, well, come on over here, well, we're going to meet up.
Amen.
I know she's going to find a way to meet up with us. We're going to find a way to meet up.
Amen.
It's real love. When it's real love, when you really consider your brother or your brother and your sister, would you not want to see them? Would you not want to join them in fellowship?
Amen, no.
I'm just asking. Because this is what they do all the time. They'll tell you I love you. They'll tell you you mean a whole lot to me. They'll give you offerings and gifts. But do they really show you? Do they really treat you like family? Come on now. Even without a gift. Because I know if Apostle had never given us anything, but he gave us his love. If he had not given us anything material. Come on now. But he showed us his love. And he has shown us that. Then what would he mean? Is it real? No. Love is about action. Amen?
Yes.
That's what it's about. And like I said, it's not in stuff. Believe that. No matter what people might tell you, it ain't about no stuff.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah. We praise God. Now we're going to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter... Let's see, 1 John chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Chapter 4. That's where we are. Thank you, God. God has given us that invitation to love. You know, if I, like I said before, and I want to say this again, I remember, turn to chapter 4, please, while I say this. I remember when I first saw my husband now, and I didn't make no mistake about it. I told him I fell head over heels, and he hadn't even spoken to me yet. First time I seen him. You know that song about the first time ever I saw your face?
Mm-hmm.
First time I saw his face and I saw him, I knew he was mine. And I didn't know anything about him other than I knew he was mine. And I fell in love with him at first sight. I know I did. And then it wasn't long after and we were together. But ever since that time, I have shown my husband and he has shown me that he loves me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we wouldn't still be together because I wouldn't stay with somebody that mistreat me.
You know.
Or abuse me.
So true.
And I wouldn't want them to stay with me if I was doing the same.
That's right now.
Because we got to love one another.
Amen.
The Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the word of God.
Love your neighbor. Love the one next to you. Love the one close to you.
Yes.
Love your neighbor, even your far-off neighbors.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And we're all those in the body of Christ. God said to be good to those in the body of Christ. Be good to those in the body of Christ. Be especially good because they are of me.
Yes, right.
They are God. You are of God, little children. When you know you are of God, then you're going to act right. You're going to be right. Hallelujah. You're going to do the right thing towards people you love.
Amen. Now,
don't call me brother. Don't call me sister if you're going to treat me like a stranger. It's not necessary. You don't have, you can keep them words because they don't mean anything.
That's right now.
It's just words. Anybody could do that. My God. So, but when we have been called, when we get that first call, that call to love, then we're going to do what's right. Bishop, if you want to go to chapter 4, do you have your Bible turned to 4? Yeah. I know you were reading it this morning. Amen. So I know that a lot of people will take this as a harsh word, but you know the truth does hurt. The truth is hard for some people to accept it. But when we know the truth that made us, when we know the way, the truth, and the life, we take that truth and we learn from it.
Yes, yes.
Take that truth. We take that. We take that correction and we move on and we ask God, let me, oh God, learn from this situation, God. God, I need you to teach me, Lord. Teach me. Show me, God. And then when he shows us the truth, he show us that, then we should receive it, and then we should begin to apply what is necessary for us to get out of a certain situation. Begin to apply the principles of that situation that's outlined in the Word of God. We go to the Word for the correction. Hallelujah. It's there.
Hallelujah.
So we have to learn to be a good friend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus has taught us how to be.
Yes.
How
yes.
to be holy. He has taught us.
Yes.
Everywhere he went, he poured out his love.
Amen. Now.
Everywhere in the Bible when he was in his ministry on this earth, and he's still ministering to us. When he was here, everywhere he went, he did the work.
Amen.
He talked to them. He ate with them. He made breakfast for them. He sat and he talked with them. If friends do that, they talk, walk together, talk together, work together. This is what love is all about. It's about getting the work done. It's about thinking of others. I remember we was on the line, and Apostle Callender heard me say about Bishop being cold all the time. You know, he's just cold-natured right now. And he sent a blanket. He sent an electric blanket. Sent the electric blanket. Bishop didn't ask anybody for that.
Mm.
You know, he could have wrapped up in these throws I got around here, but he sits in a chair and he don't wrap himself up. But now, see that blanket? He cherished that blanket.
Thank you.
He puts that blanket on him at night over the other blanket.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it on him. When he's sitting in his chair, he'll put the blanket on his legs.
Well, yes.
And every time we look at certain things that Apostle has sent here, not just because of the things, but because of his heart and because of how he released certain things and how he's listening and how he has that heart of love. And the man of God is just not appreciated by most people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be real about it.
Yeah, so
yes. He allowed people to do all kinds of things because he got love.
Yes.
But they're not running over him.
No.
They're not really running over him.
No, they're not running over
him. Because when you misuse a man or woman of God, you're misusing God.
Mm.
Amen. You're going to get in trouble with God.
Already.
They love him.
But so many people don't appreciate this man of God. not just because of what he do, but how he lives for the kingdom. That's something to be celebrated, something to be appreciated, because we know he loves. Apostle Millie sends me things.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know I save every one of the cards she sends. She's special to me. I save her letters. She sends me little notes when she sent an offering for me and for Blog Talk for the kingdom. Not for me, but for the kingdom. She writes a note, and she sends a card, and I save them. I have every one of them. I have every letter that Apostle has sent, everything with his address on it. I still got it. His handwriting.
Thank you, Jesus.
Every one of my daughter's cards and my family who send me stuff, I cherish it. I cherish them. And every now and then I go through my memorabilia and I look at things. And it reminds me of them. It reminds me of the kindness and the love that they've shown to me. But is there anything in your house that somebody has sent to you that you cherish?
Amen.
Is there anything that you cherish? You say, well, I sure thank God that for that. I wasn't even thinking about that, and they thought of me. Well, Jesus, above all, he thought of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
He thought of us when he died on that cross. It was for us.
Amen.
He poured out his love. He poured out his blood. His blood poured out because of his love. He suffered because of his love, and he's our best friend. Jesus is my friend. Do you know him today as a friend?
My.
Do you have friends that you, do you have some real friends in your life? If you don't, I pray you get, it's rare. It's almost a rare thing these days to have people who are dedicated people, dedicated first and foremost to the kingdom and then dedicated to friends. Friends in Christ. Hallelujah. People of God. Loving on people you don't even know. Giving to people you never seen before.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Doing the work. That's saying to Jesus, I'm your friend. And because I know you, Jesus, because I know you, Jesus, and I accepted the first call.
My.
Love call. I accepted that. How can you do the work if you don't accept the love call?
Man, now.
So let's read chapter 4, let's go to 4, 1 John, chapter, verse 12, huh? I'm going to come closer to you, Bishop, so they can hear you read this. He's got the big letters now.
They're big.
They're not
big enough.
They're big. But, yeah. He had the big ones before, but they had the D's and thous and
they weren't the one that's big as these.
Oh, that one's bigger, huh? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's another gift from Apostle Calendar. He don't like me to say all this stuff, but God said to honor those.
Give
honor to those that do. Give the honor to those that do honor. That's the word of God.
Hey,
Bishop, let me put the phone here. By
this particular Bible reminds me. Just hit it right here, honey.
He'll be able to hear you from here.
All right.
I'm going to read along with you.
Okay. Now I like to read.
We almost done.
Above, when the chapter starts, especially on this Bible, it's so beautiful because it gives you a outlook, okay, on what's to come. It's titled, Discerning False Prophets.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. And the first thing is this chapter 4 of 1 John.
We're supposed to be in verse 7.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to read it from the beginning?
I'm sorry.
Verse 7.
So, 7? Okay.
Verse 7 through 12.
Okay.
But if you want to, I mean, it's not a long chapter.
No,
so.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
But anyway, I just like to read that.
Go ahead, Bishop.
To let everyone know, basically,
uh-huh.
with it says, discerning false prophets. That'll open your eyes right there in your ears. Right? And it starts verse 1. Dear friends, do you believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit? You te- you test them to see if the spirit they have from God. But there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know they have the spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the spirit of God. But someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which means the Antichrist has been here. You know, it's not on his way. The Antichrist has been here. The enemy has sent his demons, his agents, many, many years ago. You know, they're just manifesting to some folks right now. Spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world, indeed is already here.
Amen.
I gotta hear myself there. But you belong to God, that children.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. My children, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. And this is where you want me to start here? I don't even know what verse this is. You said seven.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll just continue from there.
You might as well.
Yeah. Those people who belong to this world, so they speak from the world's point of view.
Amen.
And the world listens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Six. But we belong to God, and those who know God listens to us. If they do not belong to God, now they do not listen to them. They do not listen to us. All right. That is, we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So, loving one another. Okay. Dear friends, okay, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves a child of God and knows and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God. You're supposed to love everyone. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us because by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Hallelujah. Book of John. This is real love. Not that we love God love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, not his, our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other.
Amen.
I got a witness.
Amen.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expressions in us. And God has given us the spirit as proof that we live in him. And in us. Furthermore, we have with our own eyes, and now that the Father has sent his Son, the Savior, to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God God living in them.
Amen.
That's God living in them. And they live in God.
Amen.
We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in love, in that love.
Amen.
In his love.
His love.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I
really just needed verses 10, you know, the main verse, but you've done a great job. You just read the whole thing, and that's good. We need to hear it. Keep going till you finish.
Clear that Jesus is the Son of God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put your trust in. We put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God.
All who do what?
All who love. All who live. All who love live in God.
Amen.
And God.
They live in God.
In us.
Very important. Those verses from 7 through verse 12.
7 through 16, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verses 7 through 12 is what we base the sermon on.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 7 through 12,
yes.
Where he say, beloved, let us love one another.
Yeah.
For love is from God.
Oh.
And whoever loves has been born of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Yes.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Mm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So where are you?
Oh, I was just listening to you.
Amen. So we let y'all know the main focus was 7 to 12. All of it should be, but based our sermon on this. Now, when we look at verses 10 through 12, it's telling us what love is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We look, we see how love rescued us. I said love rescued.
Yeah.
It's right here in this sermon. Love rescues you from love. Listen to me good. I'm going somewhere. Love rescues you from love in order that you can love. I'm going somewhere. I know y'all saying that sounds confusing to me, but it's not. I'm going to explain it. Love rescues you from love. I'll say it again. Love rescues you from love so that you would love. Love came and rescued us. God, who is love, listen, rescued you from you. From the love of yourself. God rescues us from love of self. We got to deny ourselves if we're going to really operate in the love of God.
Amen now.
God is rescuing you from you. When you receive the first call of love, when you receive Jesus as your Savior,
yes,
that's the first call.
Hallelujah.
The love. As he has loved you. He rescues you from you so that you would become a person that's capable and willing to love. Willing to love other people. So he rescues us from ourselves.
Okay.
He rescues us from catering to that flesh. The flesh is there, but he rescues us through the mentality of that I've got to follow in the ways of God. I got to love. No matter what, I still got to love. No matter what, I still got to do. No matter what, I got to follow Christ.
My.
So this morning,
Now maybe this afternoon for us, morning for somebody else, nighttime for somebody else. Look at, when we look at the love thing, where do we find it? Some people are saying, well, where, how do I get that? What do you mean? How do I get that? We got to love like Christ loved, like he loved. How do I get that? What do you mean? I mean, you got to do the thing. You got to do the love.
Yeah,
you got to
do
it. We got to do what God said to do and how he said to do it and do the work.
Right.
Because you're working out your own salvation when you put self on the side. When you put Jesus first, others, and then yourself.
Mm-hmm.
God rescues us from that selfishness. It has to be a self-denial.
Mm-mm.
If you Google the word love, you're going to get thousands and thousands of websites telling you. You're looking it up. Look up love. And you go to all these websites or anything you're looking for, you're going to get a whole lot of different websites you could go to. And you might end up confused about what in the world is all of this about. What is love? Because there's so many different definitions and things that you're going to find when you look up that word, when you look it up and you go to different, it's going to take you to so many different websites. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll get, sometimes when we look up things, you know, we're trying to find things, if we're not careful, it'll get real foggy. It'll get real, like, you know what, I'm even more confused.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God takes away confusion. When we follow the commands of God, there is not going to be any confusion when we do it the way he says. But if we're looking for it on a website, if we're looking for it in a bottle, if we're looking for it in a bed having sex with somebody, just because you're having sex and it feel good, that don't mean there's love in that. You just love what you're doing. You just love how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that person that you're in bed with love you.
It's true.
Oh, what we did was pretty lovely. What we did was nice. It was good. It felt good. But does that person love you?
Right now.
We ought to know that before we even get in the bed with them.
That's so true.
My God. But we don't have to do certain things to experience love if we just give ourselves to Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
So in this love that we're talking about, not that we love God so much when we first said, Lord God, I receive you as Savior, but that he loved us. He sent his son to be the one, to be the go-between, to be the propitiation for our sins. You don't find how to do love in some book of philosophy or some philosophy on love. You're not going to experience love because you know the philosophy in it, because you know the definition of it, because you have gone to this book and this book and that book, because you've been with this person gave you this and did that. That's not showing you what real love is.
Whole lot of love.
But here it is. It's most of the time it's what you don't see. It's what you put into action. You got to put some things into action. So the redemptive action of God has been done already on our behalf. You hear me? It's already been done. So when we look to Jesus, he's the only one we need to look to, and he'll show us how to love. He showed us on the cross what real love is, making that sacrifice. Because the first call is the call to love others as you would have them love. Love first and foremost God. And we read that scripture. But all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. So love, when we look at it, it's God's initiative to satisfy his own anger. Hear me. God was angered by what Adam and Eve did in the garden. It angered him. It grieved him.
Yes, Lord.
So he had to, he, decided to come up with another plan, even though he was angry, even though he was grieved. He decided, I'm going to have to do something else that I love. Because I love.
My.
I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send this second Adam. I'm going to send my son.
Hey, Lord.
I'm going to send my love down there. My God. I'm going to send him to suffer and die.
Yes.
To make that sacrifice so they can come back to me.
Hallelujah.
So I've made a way for them to come back to me. My love is going to bring them back. When they receive the call to love, when you receive the call to love, it brings you back. Hallelujah. To the way it's supposed to be. Because it was never meant to be that we were going to be born in sin. It was never God. It was never meant to be. My God. Send in my son with this redemptive love. Hallelujah. So God is willing to offer his own son as a sacrifice that would atone for our sin. That's what propitiation means. It means atoning sacrifice. Now hear me say this today because it's kind of scary. This is kind of scary. Our definition of love must be nothing less than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. We've got to take up that cross and follow him. You've been called. You have been chosen to live in cruciform love, crucified love, form love. Love that forms itself to be the shape of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the cross as we walk through this life. Hallelujah. We're carrying the cross. Hallelujah. And it exemplifies our love.
And now.
It's telling people I love in spite of what's going on. I still love.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can spit on me, misuse me.
Yes.
All that you do, I still love you. I hate what you do, but I sure enough love you.
Yes, Lord.
And I want you to see Jesus through me, so I cannot hate. I cannot do what you're doing because it's not like God.
Praise him.
Now, God's heart was filled with grief because of the love that wasn't there. Because people grieve God when they're not willing to make their self-sacrifice.
Oh, yes.
It does. I wish I could say that it didn't. I wish I could say that it's not like it is. I wish I could say that everybody is going to love you, but they're not. I wish I could even say that everybody had the love of Christ, Bishop, but they don't. And it makes you afraid. It makes you feel some type of discomfort. I won't use afraid because I don't like that word. But discomfort. It's discomforting. It's disheartening to know that people are supposed to be in your circle, supposed to be in there with Jesus Christ, and they don't love. They don't show love. They give stuff, but they don't show love. It's different. It's a difference. So Jesus says to you and to me today, love as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. And maybe our problem is that much of what we would call love is not love at all. I think that's the problem, Apostle. I think that's the problem. It falls short of the calling.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. That's right, Bishop. Most of it is infatuation. I'm infatuated by certain things. I'm excited about certain things people do. But is it really love? So my brothers and my sisters, this calling is a bit uncomfortable. Tell me I got to suffer and suffer, let people do me what they do, let circumstances come and still love. It's a bit uncomfortable. It's a bit like, wow, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. But you know what? Jesus already did. He already did what it takes for us to be able to love like that, Bishop.
Amen. Now.
He did it.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to bring today is awareness
mm-hmm.
to some who think that somebody's loving you because they're giving you. Somebody's loving you because they're sexing you.
Yeah.
Somebody's loving you because they're smoking dope with you or they're going to share their dope with you. That's not love. That ain't love. No.
No, because when you say I don't, you go give me some of your when we go share.
You know why it's not love? Because they should be leading you to Christ and not smoking dope with you. They should be leading you to Christ and not serving up some fornication and some adultery
for
you.
If you don't know for yourself, how you can lead somebody else?
That's right. You got to know for yourself. That's right, Bishop. Good point. Beautiful point.
I'm going to teach you how to cut hair, and I'm not a bald.
Amen now. Glory be to God.
It's all right.
You look like you've been just a crazy person.
Like I'm drawing a road map. So I go this way and that way.
This calling is uncomfortable. Because, see, when you're in a comfort zone, you get in your comfort zone, that's where you want to stay. But it is a bit uncomfortable. It should produce in us this needlessness, this neediness, rather. It should produce in us this awareness of how we ought to be. It should produce in us a hunger for the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Bishop, and everybody. If we would just be a people of this kind of love, my God, that loves the way that Jesus loved us, oh, it would be so much more beautiful. Glory be to God. Accept the call to love today. When you accept Jesus Christ today, when Bishop, if you will, I pray that people would receive him as their Lord and Savior today. Remember, you're receiving the call of love.
Jesus.
Husbands, is that your calling? Wives, is that your calling? Parents, is that your calling? Children, is that your calling? Neighbor, is that your calling? Now, the other way around, you're called to love. Husband's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church. Amen?
Yeah.
That's part of the calling. That's in that love for Christ. Wives and husbands submit to each other. That's part of that love. Hallelujah. Parents, be the parents. Be the parents that's responsible. Good, responsible parents. That's all part of that love calling. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Children, it's your calling to obey your parents. People, it's a calling for you to be a good neighbor. It's your calling to be a good citizen. It's your calling because of the love of God. It's a call to love. To love means to respect, to honor, to be a person of integrity, good character, good moral character, brothers and sisters. In the body of Christ, that's the calling. It's part of the call that you first call you when you receive that first call.
Yes,
you've
yes.
been called to offer to people God, Sovereign Lord, has placed in your life the cruciform love, the form of love that comes from the crucifixion. It's a form of love that's self-sacrificing. Jesus sacrificed it all, gave it all. Hallelujah.
Yes.
For love. God, help us today. God, help us, Lord, to receive the call of love. It's the need. Hallelujah. It's so needed that the church would even receive the call to love. And love is a call that is so powerfully illustrated in verse 11. Read it again. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what love is? You ain't got to go to all them websites. You just got to go to Jesus.
Come on now.
You just got to go and accept Jesus and accept that call to love. If God loved us in this way, we ought to love one another in this way. And I actually want to spend a little more time on this subject after today, unpacking more in chapter 4. You see, we ought to know what we need to know what ought means in the verse, like we ought to.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Now, when you hear the word ought, you think this is an obligation. You ought to love. It's your moral obligation to love. You're commanded by your Lord, by the King, to love. Mm-hmm. This is a moral obligation. It's a commandment. And surely it's in this passage of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You're obligated to love if you receive that call. Then you're obligated. But with that obligation comes the I can do. When you accept the obligation, it says, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I can still love you with your mean self.
Mm-hmm.
I can still love you when you got some usury in you. When you come to use me and despitefully use me, I can still love you. If you spit in my face, I could turn the cheek. Go ahead. Go for it. My Jesus already went through that. He took it of his love and his strength. I can take it. I can take it without wanting to cut your head off. I watch my brother, this man loves. He loves his family. He loves people.
Mm.
And one of my boyfriends at the time, that was before I was born again. This was my man at the time, put it that way. He wasn't no boy, but he was acting like a boy. But anyway, my brother went with me to get my things, and he was the only one who had the key to my storage. But when we went in there to get my things out, my brother went with the truck and all that. Some of my stuff was missing, like big major items, and nobody but him stole it and probably sold it to somebody. See, this is in our lives when we have not met Jesus in the way we ought to meet him, when we don't really know him. Because if you're not born again, you don't really know him.
Amen.
I was not born again. I knew about Jesus. Oh, yeah, taught about him all through my life in school. Heard my grandparents and my mama talking about him and watching them do what they do. But I wasn't born again. But anyway, when my brother went to check him, my brother was saying some things to him. He spit in his face. Now, you know, that's tough for another man to take. It's tough for anybody. But for one man to spit in another man's face, that's one of the most nasty things you can do.
I tell you what.
I'm about to close, y'all.
Back in the day, that was a death wish.
Yeah, back in the day with my brother, he would have done something different.
Oh, Lord.
But see, he had love in his heart.
Yes.
He didn't think about getting into no fight, no brawl, no get the gun,
what
get the knife. He said, come on, let's go. He wiped the spit off his face, and I tell you, it went through me. I said, my brother trying to help me. My brother loved me. He has proven that to me. And for this to happen to my brother, because I'm in a relationship with some scuzzball, scumbag. I didn't know him like that till that moment. I'm telling you, I didn't even see him like that till that moment. I didn't even see that man like that till that moment. But true blue colors always come out.
Yeah.
God didn't want me in that relationship, even though I wasn't in a relationship with God yet.
All right.
And God got me out of that. And that's when Bishop came along. Hallelujah. Not long after that, I met him. But I let that scumbag go. I found out for real, you're a real scumbag. There's
right.
No me with you. I had right. Enough sense to know that. because God gave me enough sense at that moment to let that thing go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good it felt. I don't care how nice it was. I don't care how many times we went somewhere together, how much fun we might have had together. You got to draw the line.
All right.
Now, you went way too far.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And then I heard him curse his mama out. Well, then I found out later that he was using drugs, and I didn't know anything about it because I didn't know nothing about drugs. I had never experienced that. I didn't know the behavior at the time. But anyway, so what I'm saying is we can't react to everything in the way that the world reacts to it. We got to love in spite of the hurt, the embarrassment, the humiliation, and all of that. I watched my brother walk away from that, and he proceeded to continue to get the rest of my things out of the storage that I was getting ready to move to another place. I had to leave one city to go to another city for a job that I had, and I had to put my things right away. They promoted me, and I had to move right away, so I put my stuff in storage. And the stuff was in storage in the city where he was living, so I let him have the key. I said, every now and then, just go check on my things. Well, he checked on them all right. He checked them out. Apostle, he checked some of them out. And I can laugh about it now. And I've seen him since then. I got no hate in my heart. No hate in my heart for this man. We were created to love, and that's what we were designed to do. So when Christ reduces our human calling down to two commands, what kind of commands are they? They are the commands to love. Love God above all self and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it comes down to. You say, well, Apostle, I'm not sure what you mean. I know I've been saying some hard truths today, but I got to tell the truth. The truth is the light. I hope somebody's being delivered today. Because God will deliver you out of situations that you can't get yourself out of. You can't do it. You can't get yourself out of these bad situations. You might leave a situation, but let me tell you something. You can leave, but wherever else you go, if that thing that's in you has not been conquered through the love of God, through repentance or whatever, you're going to take it right to the next place with you, right to the next person, right to the next relationship, right to the next city to stay. Even if you go to a far-off country, you can't run from yourself. What's in you is in you until you get delivered. That thing will follow you to your grave until you get delivered. So, Bishop, birds ought to fly, right? Honey's supposed to be sweet. Nighttime is dark, and the sun makes the day bright. Fish is supposed to swim. These were created for a purpose. Birds gonna sing. Birds fly. Honey is so sweet. It was made that way. It was made for a purpose. Hallelujah. Would you put your dog in an aquarium with the fish? Would you? Put a little dog in that water. It can't swim, you'll drown. You know, that violates the purpose for which that dog. But if you put a baby in there, a baby might not know how to swim in that water. Because they got some big, big tanks. We had big. Well, okay, well, some babies might not swim. Maybe you got a retarded dog and he don't know how to swim. So you keep your dog. You can't keep your dog in an aquarium because you know that's not where he's supposed to be.
No, he's got to tread water. He's got to breathe air.
You got to have air. You won't see your neighbor walking his fish on a leash down the street, would you? You can't walk the fish. You can walk the dog. Can't walk no fish.
Give a walk.
If you do, if you see, I'm sorry, y'all. But if you see somebody walking down the street with a fish on the leash, a possum, you better run.
Don't run.
Run fast.
If they can't see that dog,
something happened.
See that fish ain't walking. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. They might get it.
Something happened to you. If you see somebody, you having some kind of vision that ain't normal.
No, the thing that gets me is you get somebody.
Something has happened.
They never saw it before. They got a commercial. I'm gonna say this.
We're about to go now.
And here comes a puppy. A nice pretty dog. They come tramping through the snow, and she says, "I got a surprise for you." And you know, she grabbed the pup. She said, "I love it." The pup never saw the puppy before, but she loved it. She said, "I got one for you." She whistles. Somebody drives up in a pickup truck. He said, "I love it." You don't even know how to start the thing. What are you talking about? You love it. You don't know how to open the door.
My Lord.
Lean on the fence. I love it.
Really?
You love it. So, if
you see a fish that can live out of water,
uh-oh,
something happened.
Oh, yeah.
Something universally is wrong. Okay? Okay.
You're back in there, Pastor.
Yeah, the phone cut off on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get a Pastor back in here. Then I'll be right back on the... Oh, there she go. All right. All right. We're back. And
people meeting out.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, if you see, which something would really be wrong if we see a fish on the leash. I'm just using this for an example. Maybe with your marriage, maybe parenting, maybe with education, maybe in your friendship, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe even in the church, not doing the thing that you were designed to do, created purposely to do. Well, we just said in this message that love is like a cruciform. It's a form of crucifixion. Cruciform love, we call it, I call it, is true love. It gives itself to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a crucified way of life. Because I've been crucified with Christ. And the scripture says, it is not I that live, but Christ lives in me. So as we go through this life and we try to live our lives in practical, good thing comes our way. And it's hard to deal with sometimes with the things in life and the challenges that we face. But when we have that cruciform of love, that crucified life, truly, we can truly love when we consider what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Love. We have to be perseverant. We have to have the commitment. Look at what Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3. They rebelled the law. They didn't listen to God. So Jesus came just at the right moment to live and to die and to rise again. And I'm leading to the salvation prayer to provide for our forgiveness and our acceptance. You see, if we're not committed, that's not love. If we're not committed to family, friends, first and foremost, having that cruciform type kind of love, there's no commitment. There's no real commitment, apostles, people on the line.
Amen.
You don't always wake up in the morning and feel like it. I don't always wake up in the morning and feel like going to make breakfast or go and do something I got to do. I don't always feel like coming on Blog Talk. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
But I got to put my feelings aside. I got to let the flesh know you don't dictate. I listen for my Lord. We have to listen for the Lord. Listen for that cue we have in our hearts. Hallelujah. Given over to the Savior. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. First call is love. Hallelujah. And because I love to do this, what I'm doing, because I've been called to the first love, and then I was chosen and called to do what I'm doing. Amen? So yes. we follow that call when we take that first call. You know, that first call should always be to Jesus Christ, that love first. And when something is going on, the first call ought to be to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Whenever something is going on, he is first, he's the call, and then you can call whomever you want to call after you've prayed to Jesus and cried out to Jesus. That's called that cruciform type of love. But I know who to call. I know who got the answers. I know who can deliver me. I know who's going to heal me. I know who's got all my needs supplied. I know he's the one that's my shepherd and I shall not want, because I believe by faith, because I received that first call and I know who to call.
My Lord.
Hallelujah. Because I've been crucified with Christ. There's no God that lives. Christ lives in me. My God, he got to live in you, live through you, because of love. So love always starts with a commitment. I want to do this thing that I've been created to, made to do. Don't you want to? You can do what you want to if you want to. But I want to do. I want to, and some of you on the line, want to do what you were made to do. You were made to love God. You were made to love the Savior. Hallelujah. Now wake up times in the morning, and you might not feel like doing anything. Huh? But we should look for the opportunities to show some love. I'm talking about the showmanship love, the one that says, I really love you and I really got your back. So love is always willing. It's not just that that you're carrying a weight. It's not just that you're feeling obligated, but you're willing. And I say, okay, God calls us to love. And so I'm going to love. Imagine to somebody. Yeah. And you know, you sit next to somebody and this person you had a problem with, but you just happen to be sitting next to them on the bus, or you meet them in the mall and all that. But see, now you're supposed to know the Bible. Now you're supposed to have heard your first call, and now you're supposed to be doing what you're called to do. And you look at that person and you're still saying, I can't stand her. Why I have to be in the same room with her? Why I have to be in this mall today and see her and brought back all these memories of what that person did or what he did to me? Mm-mm, something's wrong with that picture. Still have to look at that person with love. And be thankful to God, because by this time, before you see them again, you wasn't supposed to even sleep on that anger. You wasn't even supposed to still have that unforgiveness in your heart. And so when you meet that person again, or that ex again, that person who did you so wrong in that relationship, all right, they speak to you. Yeah, if you hadn't said, I forgive you, if you hadn't been given a chance to say, I forgive you before it all broke up, you might want to walk up to him and say, hi, how are you doing today? Nice seeing you again. I want to ask you to forgive me. If you did them something, I want to ask you to forgive me, and I want you to know I forgive you. God will give you opportunities like that to go back and fix something. It could be years later, and then you come in contact with that person. Hallelujah. You come in contact with that person, and can you say, I'm sorry? Can you say, forgive me? You already asked God to forgive you, so you know you're forgiven. But you know, forgiveness is for that person, Apostle. Forgiveness is for them. It's not for you. It's for them. It's for us, too. But primarily, it's for that person. That person needs to forgive so they can be free. Amen? We got to be free. So love always comes out of a willingness of heart. A heart that finds joy in following Christ. So Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down of my own accord. So what that's saying, Peter keep calling me, and I told him I'm on the line. No one takes my life, he said. I'm laying it down. I'm giving it up. I love because there's joy. There was joy in his heart. There was the love in his heart, hallelujah, that he had for us all. So we are thanking God today for this word. And what's this saying is that we got to lay down our lives too. We got to lay down and decide that we're going to go the way of love. Mm-hmm. Can't deny Christ. You can't deny it. You can't.
Sure.
Not if you. Mhm. Not if you're gonna live in love. So, some things that happen to us, and we're like, "How did this ever happen to me? Why did this ever happen to me? Why I had to go through this?" And sometimes we get bitter. But see, the Lord will take the bitterness. He'll take the anger. He'll take that feeling that you have, like, I can't trust. I just can't trust no more. I can't trust no more. Your emotions have took over. I just can't trust no more. But believe me, if you give all that, give all your heart to God, he's going to deliver you from all of that, because he is all. Amen. And he can do all. And then you think, after you get delivered, almost done, y'all. I'm about to close. What you thought about, Bishop? Talk louder, please.
I'll tell you.
No, tell them.
It's something that I think was passed through my family.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them. Even if they knew it or if they didn't know it, that it was causing the problem, or they were going to cause the problem.
And they probably didn't know it.
Saying, my dad. You know, my mom tried too. I don't know. Wherever it was, I forgive my old father.
Amen. You should. And we should. We forgive. We ask God to forgive the iniquities of the fathers down the line.
Forgive me for that in my heart that I didn't even know.
Yeah. And God takes all that unforgiveness out of your heart. It's a beautiful thing because he fills our heart with joy and love. And there's no bitterness anymore. There's no anger anymore. There's no more, I want to get you back.
Hallelujah.
No, there's no more, I'm not going there anymore. I don't ever want anything to do with that situation or that person.
No.
So love requires, again, that self-sacrifice. Hallelujah. We're just looking for love in all the wrong places, y'all. Many people are looking for love in all the, and it's not going to bring the fruit of God's grace, of love to us at all, because we're in the wrong place in our heart. Hallelujah. Remember, love requires sacrifice, and that love, and if it's no sacrifice, then it's really no love. Self-denial takes sacrifice. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was our perfect Messiah. He was mocked by people. He was given his life and breath to love. You think of the blood falling down from his face. At the crown of thorns was jammed onto his head. What love, my God. You think of the nails being driven in his hands and his feet still alive. That's perfect love. That's perfect Lord, perfect Christ, perfect love. What love, my God. You think of him hanging on that cross, Bishop, and his father turning his back on him. Jesus saw the back of his father's head. What love. I think of him at the tomb, in a tomb, finding his disciples more concerned about their own safety after the tomb than the kingdom of God at that point. They were thinking more of themselves than the kingdom of God itself. What love. I think of him looking at his church, now even, broken, turning their back on him. And he still loves us. Loving us in every moment of our life here in this earth. Although we can never earn his love, love requires sacrifice. Amen. This love we're talking about, and I'm about to close now, is undeserving. So beautiful. Jesus dying for his friends. Actually, he wasn't dying for his friends. He died for his enemies. I got that wrong. He died for his enemies. He died for the rebels against his Lord, against him. He died for rebels against him, for people who are too arrogant, too selfish to confess their need of Jesus Christ and his grace. Listen. I think, I know, I want to be surrounded by people who love me, who return that love, who love me unselfishly.
Yes.
I want love to only have to be given to people who deserve love. And that is because I actually love me more. I'm talking about a selfish love right now, just in case anybody missed that. The flesh is saying, that's what I should say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The flesh wants to love only what have been given to them who deserve. We only want to love those who we feel deserve to be loved. And that's because we actually love ourselves more than we love others. I don't want to have to love people who are hard to love. Huh? Right? I don't want to have to love people who don't want anything to do with me. If love does not love all and shun evil, it's not love. If Jesus had demanded that you treat me like the King of Kings that I am and bow down to me right now, he would have been damned. You hear me? He would have been damned, and that couldn't happen. But if he would have demanded all of this, he didn't demand it. He gave out commands, but he didn't demand.
Right.
Because God said he gave us a will. He gave us the will to do. You can do. He gave us a choice. All right? He's not demanding us, but he did give us commands.
Amen.
It's not a demand. It's a command. Now you choose, like Joshua, you choose this day whether you're going to follow God. Choose this day life or death. Choose this day when apostle, when bishop over here gives that prayer of salvation. Choose this day which way you're going to go. He was willing to leave eternity and humble himself and he was obedient to the death on the cross. His willingness was to let go of his rights and his position. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. Such a miracle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Even when he did his final meal with his disciples, and they're at the table, and he's doing the communion, and he knows Judas is there, and he knows what Judas is going to do. And he even said, the one that gets with me is the one who's going to betray me, but he did not tell him to leave the table. He didn't tell him to leave the table. He still loved him, but he did tell him, go quickly, go do what you got to do. But he didn't hate him for that. But he point blank said, I know who you are, and I know what you're going to do. But
Amen.
He still loved him. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And so Christ is going to have his disciples are there with him, and that one is sitting right there, the one that hated him. Don't you know they got people sitting next to you in church and they hate you? People on this line that might hate you. People that come to this line every day might hate you, but it's all right because we don't come for that. We don't come worrying about who hate, who don't want to, who don't want to comment, who don't want, that's a bunch of foolishness. We came to do the job.
Amen.
And if everyone accepts and if people hear, well, glory be to God. So, in those days before you eat a meal, there would be a servant and a basin in the room, and your feet would be washed, right? That was a custom, but it was a reason for it. If you were reclining on couches, as you were important for them to be clean, but there was no servant because this was a rented room. Read your history. This was a rented room. And the disciples were so busy discussing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, and running off their mouths, but wanting to be the closest one, have the closest seat next to the Messiah, they didn't have any time to think about the basin, and everybody ate with dirty feet. That's a no-no. They didn't even wash the Savior's feet. So at the end of the meal, Jesus gets up. So sweet is our Savior. So wonderful is our Savior. And he's robed like a servant. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings gets down on his knees, washes the feet of the disciples who are too arrogant to be concerned about doing that for him or one another. Isn't that something? Because they're selfish. They were only thinking about themselves. So the scripture tells us that Jesus wasn't forgetting who he was. It says that he knew he was from God. And so he did this. He did this just because he was Messiah. And then he looked at us and says, what I have done to you, you do to one another. What I have done to you, you do to one another. He was a servant. He came to serve. And he's saying, do this in love. Show the love. Show the people that you have accepted the sacrifice. You have accepted the job, the mission. Show people the love. Hallelujah. You've been washed. Now you got to go out so people can see Jesus to get washed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But you got to do what it takes. Glory be to God. You got to be doing what it takes all the time so people can see. So people can see you through that window. Like you're a window, I can see Jesus. I can see your love. I can see the sacrifices. I can see you. I can see Jesus through you. We refuse to do it. That you would refuse to do it. Love. It's not too low to do. It's not too low to go to your brother who's sick in bed. You're going to change him and clean her. It's not too low for you to go. Amen? Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to take care of a sick person and smell the smells?
Mm-hmm.
And clean them? and be there for them, that's love. That's putting yourself on the side, taking time off to go take care of somebody, taking time off to go and see about somebody that's in need. My God, that's truly receiving to love. There was nothing beneath the Messiah. There was nothing that he was not willing to do in order to purchase your redemption. He did it all to purchase our redemption. So the last point, love is forgiving. He said that. The cross is forgiveness. It purchased that forgiveness. We're able to forgive. And Jesus Christ showed us how to live, by how he lived, and by what we read in the Bible. He's called for us to love because we aren't willing to. He's called us to love so that we can always be willing to do what's necessary to be done for the kingdom. Hallelujah. We see the failures of people. We see what people do all the time. And at one point we shared the sin and the failure. We know how it feels to be in sin, and we know how it feels to fail. Listen,
yes.
It's hard to move sometimes when people have done you so much.
Yes.
Sometimes when situations have come and you're overwhelmingly sad or you're grieving, you know, and something really terrible is happening. But you know what you say? I got to go on anyhow. God, you're going to help me to go on. I have your strength, oh God. Hallelujah. So we'll come back. There's so much more we want to talk about. So many other stories in the Bible that show that unselfish love. And the book of Ruth is one of them. When you read the book of Ruth, you see the love of the Redeemer in Boaz. You see the love and how he received this woman because she was willing to sacrifice to stay with her mother-in-law. The woman was grieving. She lost more than Ruth did.
She lost her husband.
Ruth lost her husband and her son. Well, Ruth lost her husband.
Yeah, Ruth lost her husband.
Naomi lost her husband and her son. Both of them. So I'm saying she was willing to sacrifice. That's real love. That's accepting the call to love. Amen? She took that on, and she said she was going to go where she goes. I'm going with you. I'm going to live where you live and die where you die. That's love. That's love. So we can say to Jesus, I'm going to live for you. Lord, I'm going to accept that sacrifice. I'm going to make those sacrifices. After hearing what I heard today and all that you've already done, there's so many more points to this message. So we're going to stop here and we'll come back. Because essentially, we're talking about God's love every day, y'all. Apostle Millie was talking about his love the other day when she taught and Apostle Callender teaching on the blood. That was all about the love of Jesus.
Yes.
Glory be to God. And telling us that he did all on that cross. He shed that blood for us all. It's been freely given, and we should freely give. Amen. He freely gave of himself. Freely gave up his life, made the sacrifice so we could live. And now your Redeemer lives. He lives today, and he loves still the sinner. And he's saying today, come to me. Come to me, those who are heavy laden and burdened. And you know, sin is a burden. It's a burden we carry until it's released. And a burden that we'll pay for. Very life. There will be no eternal life for someone that do not receive Jesus Christ. There won't be no. There won't be nothing. No more to be given. He's already given it all, so that you can come and get all by accepting the first call. Amen. So listen, the grace of that cross is not just for your forgiveness. It's not your power. that cross is not just speaking to the guilt. It's what it's doing is it's saying that I'm talking to your inability to do what only the cross can do. Your inability of trying to do things on your own or trying to get rid of stuff on your own. There's some addictions and habits that we cannot get rid of without Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Things that we could never do without him. Glory be to God. So what we are saying today is that you need him. Whether you know it or not, I pray you receive it. And then I pray today that you show your love. Show the love that's given to us through the cross, through the Savior, our Holy Redeemer. Get redeemed today from death, hell, and the curse to the cross. Amen. Receive him today. There's more, amen, to be learned from chapter 4. And we're going to be in 1 John for a while. Hallelujah. I want to continue to go in this book and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so that is if the Lord continued me to go that far. But I'm just going to read it over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to read about the love and to continue to read about Jesus Christ and all that he has done. And we're going to be preaching about the love every day on this line. As we show the love that the Lord has put into our hearts, we're going to keep on doing what we do. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name. So I pray you've enjoyed this message. I pray it has helped someone, you know, because it helps us all when we, even when we teach it, we're teaching ourselves. Amen. The Lord is teaching us too. Glory to God. He's teaching us too. It's for everybody. This word is for everybody. There's something in here for everybody. So I've been blessed, and I hope you've been blessed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Bishop is going to do the prayer of salvation now because it's after one. We went a bit too long. But glory to God. God had his way. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all that matters. Glory be to God. Huh? You guys call me to the prayer of salvation? Hallelujah. You guys call me. Come on. You got to go?
It's for sure.
Yes.
Oh, wait, there's something on the screen that I don't know.
That's scripture. Okay, here you go. Thank you.
Now, for those who didn't accept Jesus so far, it's a popular, I've already asked you to do so. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity. Come unto Jesus while you still have time. No one can be saved from the grave. You have to be drawing breath. You have to have heartbeat. You have to be alive. Because, first of all, the word says, what does it say? It says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth.
Amen.
Some scripture says on your lips. Same difference. You must speak it. Speak it out in the atmosphere and let the enemy know. Let the enemy know that you're getting away from his evil deeds. And you're going to go with Jesus and be with him for all eternity. Receive him today, if you will. And if you read these scriptures, it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. Excuse me. Word of God says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God sent him into this world not to condemn this world, but through him that the world might be saved. Okay. If you believe that, and if you believe that on the third day God raised him from the dead, you are now saved. Very simple. Very simple. Very easy. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're backslidden, come back, brothers and sisters. Hurry back. Don't hesitate. Rededicate your life to Christ Jesus and stay in God's graces. Now, if you've received Jesus for the first time, your slate is clean. Whatever sins you have committed, you must repent of those sins and do not return to them. Whatever they are, do not return to them. Okay? And if you should so slip and do and go return, hurry, come back. As soon as you realize, hey, I'm not doing what's right here. I'm going to rededicate my life to Christ Jesus. Do it. It would be well with you to do so. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, Peter is saying to the people who are to be baptized, hey, repent, every one of you. Separate yourself from this cruel world, this evil world. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it would well be well for you and for your family and for all who are far off, who God will call unto himself. And he calls us unto himself because he loved us so much that he did send his son to die, take the sins of the world on his shoulders, become man, and have a ministry for the last 3 years of his 33-year life, full ministry, teaching and preaching, and teaching people what God wants us to do. And we follow the laws of God, laws of the land. We follow them to the point. They're all laws of God. Now, excuse me. If you've made this commitment, you are now saved. I want to welcome everyone who has received Jesus as their Savior today. And remember, you must be baptized in his holy, matchless name. So in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, it states, there's no other name under heaven which men should be saved by mankind. No other name except Jesus Christ. No other name. Okay. You can read the book in Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and you're not going to find any other name mentioned that you are to be baptized in other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. So congratulations. Thank you for becoming a member of the Christian life. And you'll find out that it has its ups and downs, like everything else. But being a Christian is so beautiful. When you cross over, if you've lived righteous like God wants us to and obeyed his laws, I'm doing that you're going to be with Jesus in paradise one day. Hallelujah. And for every soul that you have invited to your baptism, you've talked to people about being baptized, you see, you're an ambassador to Christ. So you now can tell people, hey, bring them to the scriptures that are read. And convert them. You can talk to them and have them accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That soul will be accounted to you, and you'll have a reward in heaven for bringing that soul to Christ. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And thank you for listening to the sermon. And please, if you make comments, please come and make a comment, you know, because the woman of God, like every other person that preaches on this line, you know, really needs to be encouraged, as the word says, encourage your brothers and sisters, you know, and the favors will be returned to you, you know. We all encourage each other. That's word of God also. So God bless each and every one of you, and have a blessed and wonderful day. Also, it's back to you.
Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle, for that wonderful message of love. We have some other people that were on the line today. New people, I would say, because I have to say that because they had their number blocked out. So, and we thank God that the prophetess Cheryl was on, and Apostle Stuart was on, but we thank God for the word, and we thank God that they were able to hear the word.
Hallelujah.
You know, the word says so much today, as always. God's word is refreshing. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. Lord, you have allowed us to hear from heaven today as always and to reminisce on the love that you have shared from Calvary for us, O God. You prove how much you loved us by giving your son so we could have life eternal. Oh, God, I ask now even for this word. I know there's a lot more coming. That you bless this man of God, bless this woman of God for all that they have studied and meditate on to give to us your people. Lord, give them more. Bless them to hear more, to hear clearly. That as they release, God, we will hear clearly and receive, oh God. And Lord, we'll continue to praise you. We'll continue to glorify your name. We'll continue to exalt you, God, because that's what it's about. You saved us to praise you, oh God, to glorify you, not to get rich and get fat, but you saved us, praise you, to give you honor so the adversary could be mad. Because he wants us to praise him, but we are going to praise you. You're the one that paid the price at Calvary in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Apostle, let me tell you something. The word was so sweet. Let me say. This is what I say. What he said. And I started here. Then I had to stop because I was getting myself ready for this dentist. When you truly love God, when we truly love God, we're able to love others. There's no if or buts about it. When we have the love of God resonate in our hearts, it is very easy to love the unlovable. Very easy.
Amen.
He did it. And we have to be examples of him. That's why we got to love him. We got to get his love into our hearts. When we get our love, his love in our hearts, it's very easy to love the other person that mistreat us, that talk to us bad or treat us bad. It's easy. If we don't have the love of Christ in our heart, it is very difficult. No matter how you try, you can always have an obstacle in your heart that will stop you or hinder you from loving that person. You'll always be remembering what they said, what they've done, or what you think they will do. Because you don't have the love of Christ. See, the love of Christ allow him, he to bypass, look past our faults and see and saw our needs. That's the love of Christ. When we got that in our hearts, we can do that. So I said, and when we're connected to him, we draw strength from him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We draw strength from him so we're able to do what he called us to do. We can't do what he called us to do on our own strength. On our own, we know how to do stuff. We can't do it. We have to have his strength. You know, his strength in us. Without his strength, we are weak. That's why Paul said he counted himself to be nothing. To be nothing for Christ Jesus. Because we're taking on his characteristics. And when we are taking on his characteristics, we get his strength, we get his power. Everything that goes with him, we inherit. Hallelujah, glory to God. Right there. Hallelujah, glory to God. Now, let me get some more that I have here. I read a lot down. And we are preaching and teaching because we have been commissioned by our Savior to make disciples. That means to win souls. That's why we are preaching. Not to get rich. Not to get a big house, a fancy car, even though he might bless us with that, all of that. But we are preaching and teaching to win souls. Love is the number one ingredient in ministry. If you don't have love in your heart, you will not make a good teacher, a good preacher. You will not be able to reach souls. Love is the ingredient. As much as we can preach and teach and sing and dance, and play the instruments, if we don't have love in our hearts, we will not be able to win souls for the kingdom. Love is what distinguishes us from the rest. It's what makes the Christian, the believer, different from the rest, the love of God that's in our hearts, that's shed abroad in our hearts according to the word of God. When that love is in our hearts, it's very easy. You don't have to try to manipulate anybody. You have true love, unconditional love in your heart. You can love them. When you give it out of love, not out of wanting from somebody. You know, not trying to trick somebody to get something from them. You give it out of the love, the compassion, the mercy and grace that's in your heart. That's all in love. Hallelujah. Then I said, I was following you very closely. Love is
praise
the number
God.
One ingredient in ministry. But it has to be agape love. That's God-like love. This love that you're teaching about, it has to be agape love, the love of the Father. Everybody needs love. You said that. And sometimes people would do foolish things to get love, not knowing, this is what I write in here, not knowing that genuine love is available to us from our Father who is in heaven. The love that we really need is in heaven. It comes from the Father. Hallelujah, glory to God. But most of us will do foolish things. We'll even go backwards to prove to somebody, to get somebody, get them to say they love us. Get them, okay, I love you. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my brother. You're my everything. Don't you know I love you? And you'll do everything. If you got to lie, cheat, or steal, you'll do everything just to get their okay.
That's
get their approval. And God says, I've already given you approval. When I sent my son to Calvary to die, I give you the approval of love, genuine love. It's
hallelujah.
Right there. Glory to God.
Yes,
so I don't have to look for it. I don't have to search for it anymore. Wherever I go, I know I have to be, I'm loved because I have the love of Christ in me and I'm putting off love. It's not to get anything from anyone. So love isn't just about giving material gifts, even though that's good. Everybody likes to get a gift from time to time. But love has to be unconditional, and it flows from our Father in heaven to those that love him. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I say?
Hallelujah.
Love has to be unconditional. And it flows from the Father who is in heaven through those that love him. There has to be a magnetic connection or spiritual connection for love to flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And
yes,
this is why you can see some folk in the house of the Lord or the house of man, and they will proclaim that they love the brethren, but they really don't. They sit in there with them Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and they're boiling in their chest. I can't stand her. Why is she sitting next to me? I can't stand him. Why is he sitting next to me? They're boiling. But when the music plays, when the preacher starts, they say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But they don't love their brother or sister sitting right down the pew from them. That's not love. You're not even connected to the Savior. Because love is his connection. Love is his connection. Relationships. Listen. Relationships without the love of God usually becomes tumultuous. Messy. Full of problems. Because in the long run, if you don't have the love that comes from the source of love, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And that doesn't mean that the love that comes from Christ, the people that are in love with Christ and have love, Christ's love wouldn't have situations. But because they have the love of Christ, they know how to deal with the situation. Remember what I said, situation. If you truly love someone, you will celebrate them, not just tolerate
them.
I like where you put that in. That's one of the things that I want to, phrases that I use a lot. But I'm glad you put it in there to bring it back to my memory. Because a lot of people just tolerate people. They say, I love Sister So-and-so. I love Brother So-and-so. But all they do is tolerate Sister So-and-so, Brother So-and-so. They really don't love Sister So-and-so. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Genuine love is a celebration. When I see you,
yes.
When I don't hear you for 3 or 4 months, when I do hear you, I'm so excited to hear you because I love you. I'm genuinely in love with you, unconditionally.
That's right.
That's true love. I got a friend in Brazil, and I told you that last year he ran into some problems, financial problems. He got a job. His wife does a little mediocre job cleaning. He's not going to listen to Blog Talk, really, because he don't have the sight. So he's not going to hear this. Plus, we're not recording them. And he called me. He says, "He's a pastor. I need some help. I need some help. I need some help. I can't pay my light bill, my gas bill, the water bill, and the mortgage is behind." And God had just blessed me with a couple of jobs. And I said, "Honey, I'm going to send some money for my brother. I'm talking to him for a while, but he's still my brother." You know? Some people say, well, you ain't talked to him for 3-4 months. How come he calling you now? Why are you going to have him? He's still your brother. Even though you ain't seen him for a year, he's still your brother. He's still your spiritual brother. He's still your spiritual sister. I don't love him because I see him and hear him every day. I don't talk to Apostle Stewart, Apostle Washington, Apostle Millie, or Deacon Fraser every day. I don't talk to them. But I know when I preach me, I'm praying for them. And I know when he says call him and talk to him on the phone, we chat for a long time. We're going to chat for a long time. But I pray for him every day. Why? Because I love him. And I know that people, they're praying for me, and other people are praying for me as I pray for them, because you don't have to talk to somebody every day to love them. But you, because if you love them, you're going to pray for them. Praise more than just talking to me every day. Hallelujah. Pray going into heaven, and it disturbed the devil kingdom, where he's setting up stuff against me, against us. And we're praying for one another. We're messing him up because he can't win. Hallelujah. So that's where I come in here with this. We have to love unconditionally at all times, not when we feel like. Even when our flesh is troubling us because we thought we heard something or thought we saw something, it shouldn't change us. Why? Because we have agape love. Why are you saying that, Apostle? You know, we act unseemly to God from time to time. All of us do, truth be told. All of us act unseemly to God. We are not perfect. And sometimes when he look at us, I could see him just shaking his head. Where's my son? Where's my daughter acting like that? But it doesn't change his love. It doesn't change his love. Because he loves us unconditionally. We can't do anything enough to make him love us more. He loves us so much. So much. When I think about his love, it just makes me weep because I know his love is genuine. And this is what he calling for us, Apostle. I'm glad you're hitting on this because, you know, I teach on love before. All of us teach on love before. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you're hitting on it because it needs to go over the airwaves again. It needs to wake up the spirit of believers and unbelievers. There's too much hatred in the world right now. Too much hatred in the world. The world has shut out God, shut him out completely. They don't want to hear about him from the White House to the outhouse. They don't want to hear about him. You understand? And we have to wake up. The church is going to sleep. The church needs to wake up again. Wake up and begin to preach the truth. Love, love, love. He said, love thy brother as thyself. Hallelujah, glory to God. He said, I give you what the Father gave to me, that you and your brother will become one as we are one. Hallelujah. We can't get it. We can't catch the love of God is what makes us one. When we love each other unconditionally, we become one with the love of God. So I just thank you for that word. It's a powerful, anointed word. And many going to get closer to this word. Many people going to get closer to this word. I tell you no lie. Because I feel it. I feel it in my spirit, man. Hallelujah. It's God's word. And God's word only do one thing. That's draw people together. Some people will run away from it because the enemy. But once they hear the word and love the word to saturate their soul, they will be drawn together because it's powerful. The word of God is powerful. So thank you again, Apostle. Just keep doing what you're doing. Tomorrow is Thursday. If you want to come back with a second part tomorrow, you can. Hallelujah. You can. You just let me know what you're doing.
Okay. That'll be well. That's fine.
All right then. So the line is open. I'm gonna put my sneakers on. The line is open. Anyone want to come on in?
I'm letting them give more about agape love. That's what it is. That's what God is. Amen. And just to reiterate, you know, and just bring more and bring your thoughts into it that God has given you. And we thank God for you and thank you for praying for us also. Thank you so much for all to give once again to the kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for
I mean, we don't care if they respond or not, because we're doing what the Lord has commissioned us to do, and that's to get a message out there in the world, put it out in the airwaves. So somebody who can't get out their house, we got people in Virginia that, you know, we got people that are overweight in Virginia. I'm saying that now because we're not recording. We got people that are overweight in Virginia. They can't get up to go to a church building to I know when I was there, they used to send one of those buses, you know, come just to go and pick them up and bring them to church. But no, they can't really get up. But they get the word of Blog Talk every single day. And they thank me. This apostle, I thank you. You make sure that we get the word of God. So even the folk come on here and they call themselves this and call themselves that, and they don't want to respond to the word of God and give God glory. We know, Mike, because we're not doing it for them. We're doing it because God commissioned us to do this work. This is an assignment, see? And as long as you have that mindset and know that it's an assignment from God, it don't bother you. We had a prophetess and had an apostle and some other person who had blocked their number out. Was on there. Doesn't matter. They hear the word, though. In this word.
Breaking up, Apostle.
People can give you. I'm away from my phone. I'm a little away from my phone. Okay. People can give you stuff. People can give you stuff and still don't love you. Believe it or not. They can
That's
give you
true.
Stuff and don't love you. You know?
That's
but
true.
When you have.
Yes.
When you have agape love, you're going to love. You're going to love. Because it calls you to love. You know, it energizes you to love, agape love. You know, it stirs up the inside to love your brother, love your sister, unconditionally. You got some preachers can't love a woman. They can't love a woman or a man, the opposite sex, without wanting to go to bed with them. They can't do it. They can't do it. Because it's not in them. Anyway, the line is open. Thank you again, Pastor and Bishop.
You're welcome. The line is open.
Thank
God for you and for the opportunity to come. Thank God for his grace. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. To Apostle Washington and to Bishop Washington, too, this has been a blessing. And when she told me her subject, I thought it was very beautiful. The fruit calling. Love. And we know God is love. We know we can't love God like we have Jesus. So she said some beautiful things, beautiful points was, you know, she put out there for everyone to hear. She would have a mind to want to receive because it's very important. Love is very important. And, you know, not trying to go over nothing that she has said, but how can you love God and you don't love me? Or you can't love me? I know a lot of people say, oh, they have a four-letter word. Yeah, it's a four-letter word, but that four-letter word means something. It let us know that we don't love like God said, Lord, we need to go back again. We need to go back again. And go back again, and pray and God, Lord, move the spirit out of me. Because, Lord, you is love. And all I can think about, it was love that hung on that cross for me. Truly, Apostle Linda, it was very beautiful. Keep the good work up. I just wish some of those people that, you know, and more should have came on to listen to this beautiful word. Amen. And again, as we often say, we ain't looking for no praise from men. But God said, we're going to be in your work. He said, we're going to give us what it's like. He's going to be our pay. So we ain't looking for nothing from men. But we just want people to accept the God. That's all we saying. So y'all pray for me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. They love him. They love one another. Back a little now. Phone cut off.
No, we're here.
Oh, okay.
You're done?
Yeah, I say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. The phone cuts in and out sometimes, but amen. Thank you, Apostle Millie, for being here and being so supportive and having that love that I know you have in your heart.
Amen.
You have that love. You got that love of God, amen. And we're
amen.
So happy to be in the company of those that have the love of the Lord, amen. And
amen.
Thank you for the encouragement. You encourage me every day. And I thank God for you. I thank God for Apostle Calendar, hallelujah, who also gives us the encouragement we need, and he gives us correction when we need it. You know, we all need to have correction at times, and he will bring correction, hallelujah, and that's what we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to bring correction to each other when we need it, you know.
Okay.
So we need God's love to be able to bring the right message, to bring the right things that need to be said and done to the people of God. And I thank God I'm in y'all company, and we have that. We have that blessing because of God's love is what it is. And he keeps giving through that love, God, for you. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that the message blessed you. Surely did bless me. Surely did bless me. And I just... We would just get that inbound in your soul. My God. When you get the love of God, you just got everything you need. It's just so beautiful.
You going to do part two tomorrow?
Yeah. Unless you want to do the message tomorrow.
You do it.
Huh? Yeah. I'm going to be there a while, though. I'm just going to be in first, second, and third John for a minute. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to be in it for a minute, so I'm just going to keep reading it over and over and over.
Yeah.
I'm going to read those chapters over and over and over till I can almost memorize them. Glory be to God. Because, and I do memorize some of those scriptures, but I just want to read more and more and more because John had so much love in him.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he talked about the love so much. And all of the disciples, you know, Peter had it, and Peter and John walked so closely together. They ministered in different places, but remember when they went to the gate called Beautiful,
yeah.
And the man was there begging alms. That was John and Peter.
Uh-huh.
John was with Peter, and you know, it's like they balanced each other, you know, because Peter was radical, and God calmed him down as he went through. But Peter was radical, and John was just calm, cool, and collected, you know. And those two just balanced each other.
And I think of us together and how we balance each other, you know, because
yeah.
we all minister different. And but at the same time, we have different personalities, but at the same time, we have that same love in us from God, and we balance each other. You know,
Amen.
God puts who you need and what you need in your life.
That's
and
right.
it keeps us balanced. Amen. Things
yeah.
that you know you share, Apostle shares what he know, we share what we know, and we keep each other in a balanced way, you know. And just keep us going in the Lord, and that's just so good. It's just
yeah.
so good. I'm so grateful for you, grateful for Deacon Frazier, and grateful for everybody that come on the line. You know, I don't know all the names to mention, but I thank God for all of those who came. And as far as some of those numbers that we don't, that we see and is blocked out, it's because they don't want you to know that they're on the line. A lot of times numbers are blocked out, and it'll be some of the same people that has come to the line before, but they don't want you to know they're on the line.
Uh-huh.
I know this. I feel it in my spirit, and I know when I feel something in my spirit, it is so.
All right.
So, and want to keep it private. They don't really want to be called upon. It's all kinds of reasons, and some reasons could be just because they got a private number and it comes across as private. But some people just don't want to hear. They don't, you know, they don't want you to know.
Yeah.
They don't want to know. Because I've been online when you go, sometimes when I go places and I don't have my earpiece in, times when I've gone places, I've had Blog Talk on the website. You know, because you can't be on your phone some places.
Right.
And I want to, so I'm listening. I'm on the website so I can hear everything, you know. And then you got some people just don't want you to know. They just come on and listen and get what they got, what they came to get, and they go.
Yeah.
You know? And it is well.
Give me God's hand, because we just want to minister the word and keep on going.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, you know, and again I say, if you tell me you're my spiritual brother, you're my spiritual sister, and don't show me, huh? Don't show me, you know, you're showing me that you don't follow, or you're not going to follow the word of God. I mean, that, you know, that's you. That's you. Or that's the vice president. That's you. I mean, I don't care. I don't care, really. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. And, you know, each person, they got to stand before him for themselves. That's all I can tell you. But it was a beautiful, I mean, it was very beautiful. Because your first calling, the first calling God gave us, because the love, it was that his love that called us. And it was his love that he hung on the tree for us. And I can't forget that. So I thank God for his love. And that I can love one another.
Yes, God. Yes, God. You see that sacrifice. You see him hanging on that cross. My God, my God. You get that picture in your head, you know, and it reminds us, the cross reminds us of that sacrifice. And it's just so beautiful. Thank God. Hallelujah. But you're right. We come to do. We got to do when we go. Amen. That's all God expects of us. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. So if anybody want to say a prayer or
I'm going to make a comment. Now's your time, or we're going to close the line. Give you a couple of minutes, and we're going to close the line.
Amen.
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 I want to, okay, because I want to see this funeral out, Pastor.
Yeah.
You want to do what?
Go ahead.
Because I want to see the funeral, the rest of the funeral out.
What funeral?
The young men that got killed by the police.
Oh, my God.
Up in Memphis, Tennessee.
The vice president went?
I just can't hear what she's saying.
Okay, well, go ahead. You can hang up, Apostle.
Okay, I'll get back with you later on, y'all.
Sure.
Love y'all.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Glory to God.
Go ahead, Brother Deacon.
That's so sad.
Amen.
I want to watch the funeral. Hallelujah.
My God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. We want to praise the Lord. We just praise God. Praise God on the word on today. But I thank God on the beautiful day. Thank the Lord for a beautiful day. The Lord. You truly enjoyed what I heard today. The word of God blessed me today. I really thank God for the word that has been said today about love.
Praise.
You can't get no love better than that. When you love in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We just thank God for a wonderful day in the Lord. We just thank God what has been said on today. Thank God for everything that was been put out today. And we just thankful for having said. So no one can love you less like Jesus. Loves you. If no one don't love you, no one don't love you back. You know that songwriter said it best. And when I listen to that songwriter, it always says something. And it always hit me when I think about that song. I think about it all the time. It's so good when someone loves you and they can't even love you back. And you know that's a true statement. There's a good statement because you got one that ain't gonna love you back. But the one like Jesus Christ loves you more than anything. When we feel like, when brothers, we feel like no one don't feel love more. But Jesus loves, because he loved us all. Everybody ain't gonna like you. Everybody not gonna like you. Gonna love you. Y'all not gonna be mean.
That's right.
Talk to you any kind of way. Everybody gonna treat you like that. You are treat you like nothing. Treat you like a dog. Everybody say they're your friend. They're not your friend, but they'll turn against you. If everybody who they say they with you, they love you, and then they'll turn. One minute they love you, one minute they hate you for 1 minute. They love you, and then they got these old governing meanings in their heart. That's what I say a lot of times. Y'all hear me say, I ain't gonna tell a person if I don't love you. Don't tell them that you love them. Don't tell you truly don't mean it. From the sinner. You got a lot of them that say they love, they know truly don't mean it, but what they say. And that's why we got to be careful about how we tell someone that we love. And we truly don't mean it. But from the sinner. And even though those that don't come, those that jump off, well, you know the world go forward. Even though you can't get no love when you come on this trust line. So we do it, you do it in love. But I just truly thank God on the word what I heard on today.
Amen.
I really enjoyed what I heard as well heard on today. We truly enjoyed on the word. Amen. God bless on the word. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
You know, some you said in the apostle is that, and we said too, we all said, love is not what love says, love is what love does. You know,
amen.
So many people can say it because it's an easy word to call. You know, it's only four letters, love. But to activate it and make it happen, it takes a lot. You know, that's why you see people can go to the altar and says, I do love you until death do us part and sickness and health for rich or for poor, but yet still they don't love you. You know, they just say it. 6 months down the road, 3 months down the road, they're looking for divorce. They want to get away from the very person that they say they love, you know, because they didn't love.
No. I'm good. I got what I need. You there, Apostle?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, you're out and about.
Yeah, I'm heading to the dentist now.
Oh, that's right. You did have an appointment today.
I thought it was 1 o'clock, but then Nancy told me now it's 3 o'clock. So I'm pretty close to him now. But thank you so much for that word, and thank Bishop for his put in. And thank Deacon coming in today and put his 2 pennies in. We just appreciate you all. And just to know that you're coming again with a second part tomorrow is a blessing, you know. Because as I said before, we need to hear more about love, you know, forgiveness and mercy and grace, all those things we need to hear about, because all you're seeing is pain. You just turn on the TV. I won't spend my time watching a funeral. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, you know. I'm not going to spend my stuff with that. I want to share love, just compassion. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about the love of Jesus instead of all this shit going through people, just killing people for no reason at all. No reason at all. At all.
That's
people
right.
Killing people, you know. That's you know, just for their color, because they're the woman, because they're a man. You know, just killing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense. So,
that's right.
I'm going to go in here, Apostle. I'm going to put my stuff on off, and I'm going in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I just made it 3 minutes of time. All right. I love you guys so much. I'll talk to you all later, okay?
I should be safe out there.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.